ever-living God, all that we do is in remembrance of Jesus and the love you brought forth through him. Bless this offering this day, we pray, may it be used to further your kingdom. May others know that same love in whatever way that is possible. And help us as we continue to seek to be the servants you call us to be. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is the lectionary gospel passage. I am sharing with you from the gospel according to Mark. This account is the account of Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist. I am reading to you from chapter 1 of Mark, verses 4 through 11. And you're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Amen. Join with me in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our sight, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I went to seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Almost three decades ago now. That's hard to believe. And one of the things I want to tell you about is in Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Muhammad Ali Boulevard, it used to be 4th and Walnut Street, there is a plaque commemorating Thomas Merton. Now, Thomas Merton is well known because of his writings, because of the way he really encouraged discussion between Western Christianity and ways in the East, especially Buddhism. He had this very open nature, and he was a devout follower of Jesus Christ. So at that corner of 4th and formerly Walnut Street, there's a plaque honoring Thomas Merton. He was a monk who actually lived at a monastery, Gethsemane Monastery. He was a Trappist monk. The monastery is in Bardstown, Kentucky. Now, that's not the only reason for that plaque, because that corner was just amazing in the sense of how it was significant for him and for his personal journey. And he wrote about what happened to him at that corner in Louisville and he wrote about it in one of his journals. March 18, 1958 was a significant experience. He had left the monastery. He had gone off and there were errands to run and there was a dry cleaner's to go to and a grocery store to go to, and then he writes that this happened to him. At the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people, that they were mine and I theirs, that they would not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness to take your place as a member of the human race. I have the immense joy of being a member of the race in which God Himself became incarnate. If only everybody could realize this. There is no way of telling people that they are walking around shining like the sun. There's no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. What will it take for you to believe that you are walking around shining like the sun? That you are that blessed by God? Sitting here in the pew today, you are that blessed by God. You are God's child. You have inside of you worthiness beyond worthiness, preciousness beyond preciousness. You are golden beyond goldenness. There's nothing that can harm or destroy or diminish that which is truly the truth inside of you. It's there even if you don't believe it. I remember Carl Jung's famous saying, bidden or unbidden, God is here. And why is this realization really the bottom line of what is all so important? Well, it's really as simple as it gets. If we don't get this down, then the rest of our journey into the wholeness and the potential that God wishes for us is just sort of, I don't know, kind of out there and not in here. It doesn't make any sense then, you know, if we don't have this down. We've lost the why of it. We've lost the depth of it, the importance of it, even our confidence in the journey itself, right? The need to have this deep realization, I believe, is part and parcel of why Jesus was actually baptized. Because when you think about it, here we were in this place celebrating the birth of Jesus not all that long ago, and we recognized how transparent even this infant was as a vulnerable, innocent baby, transparent to God and to God's will for this child. And we were here celebrating what it must have meant for Mary and Joseph, and we were here acknowledging all of that. So why do we need to be here today talking about Jesus' baptism and God's claim on his life when, you know, we've already been there and done that? Isn't it a little redundant? And yet, think of it this way. Maybe Jesus was baptized because it was his way of standing in alliance with humanity, right? You think of all those people, a throng of people that were baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, and then here Jesus becomes one of them, in a sense, standing with humanity, and then we hear that Jesus hears this voice You are my son. You are blessed. You are beloved. With you I am well pleased. Well, wasn't that a message to Jesus earlier than the time of his baptism? Or maybe that message to Jesus was also to represent not just God's claim on Jesus, but God's claim on all of us, and we are encouraged to hear that same echo within our very hearts. We are encouraged through this story as it works inside of us to hear our own blessedness and to remember that we are a blessing, and we are a blessing to others. And to say that we are blessed and then a blessing to others isn't the path of self-absorption. I think so many of us, and rightfully so, shy away from thinking about, you know, the greatness that God has given to us inside of us because we feel somehow, well, that's kind of self-preoccupation. That's self-absorption. That's thinking of ourselves better than we should. And yet, how can that relate to the fact that it is actually God's glory planted inside of us? Something we really don't have anything to do with after all. Let's remember, you can't give away to others what you feel you don't already have. I love this quote from Marianne Williamson. It's worth repeating time and time again, I think, in this kind of context. Our deepest fear, think about that. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be when you think of it in the way I'm talking about it today? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. Your playing small does not serve the world. So we are all meant to shine. Meant to shine. We are born to make manifest the glory of God within us, and it's not just inside some of us. You know, like God was into picking and choosing. Okay, this person gets it and this person gets it. That's nonsense, right? It's in all of us, no matter who we are, in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we also, maybe in a subliminal way or an unconscious way, we give permission for others to let their light shine as well. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Now I'm going to ask you some provocative questions this morning because, as they say, the time is right. Beginning of a new year, we're looking at 2018 and the expanse of us ahead, or expanse of it ahead of us, and we're thinking, who do I want to be this year? What is it I want to resolve to do? How am I going to change some ways that I'm not all that crazy about? It's the time to really, really grapple with these kinds of questions. What would your life look like if you removed your inner doubt about this that I've been talking about? If you remove that inner doubt that says, can this really be true? What would your life look like if that was gone? What would your life look like if you allowed the fire of blessedness to be lit inside of you? What would your life look like if you truly accepted the goldenness of your blessedness, which is of God? Right? Would you be more hopeful? Maybe. More engaged? Maybe. More willing to risk for the sake of the potential that God has placed inside of you? Maybe. What would this church look like if each of us allowed the fire of that blessedness to be lit inside? Would we be more hopeful? Would we be more engaged? Would we be more willing to take risks for the potential of what God asks of us? So you feel this is asking too much because, gee, you know, I've got problems. I don't have it all together. I have such a ways to go. Well, I want to ask you another provocative question. Since when does having it all together, since when does being perfect become the litmus test for whether or not God can change your heart and put you in the right direction? Since when? As you know, I love the story about the brother of a baby who was baptized one day. He'd gone to church with his parents. The baby was just a beautiful child. Everyone was celebrating. The service was lovely. And then on the way home, this brother was just really beside himself in the back seat of the car, and he ended up crying and crying, and the parents didn't know why. What happened? They wondered if, you know, the brother of the baby was upset. The attention had been off of him, and they wondered if maybe it was just that somebody said something terrible to him at church. And finally, on the third time, the dad asked the child, you know, what's going on? Why are you so upset? Why are you crying? The child said, the preacher kept saying he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys. Let's let our light shine a little bit. At home, at work, here, at church. They say it takes 21 days for a habit to form. I don't know if that's really true because I really haven't worked that out or made it to all 21 days with certain habits that I want to form, but, you know, perhaps that is true. So let's think of this as a New Year's resolution for a moment. I want to take, you know, or I want to put a challenge out there for you. I want you to say, if you can, once a day at least for 21 days, and keep this in front of you. I am God's child, shining like the sun. They also say that thinking about something isn't always a way to get it into your routine or get it into your heart. Actually, the doing of it is what matters. The actual doing of it is what impresses what we want to have impressed on us. And so, I'm going to do something this morning. I'd like for you, if you're willing, you don't have to be forced to do this because maybe you just feel, it's too much, or I don't want to have to do that, and that's fine. But if you're willing, why don't you repeat after me? I am God's child, shining like the sun. I am God's child, shining like the sun. Why don't we say that all together, all at once? I am God's child, shining like the sun. Take that home with you, my gift to you, on this first Sunday, 2018. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, you are in our hearts already. We don't have to ask you to come in. Help us as we feel in our hearts the way you shine and you shine out to others. May we truly feel the fire of your blessedness this day and in the days to come. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. Our next hymn, Our next hymn, As Your Family, Lord, Meet Us Here, verses 1, 2, and 3, number 606.
Thank you.